Chapter 6. And I hope we don't go long. We're just going to touch on a few things and see what y'all think. See what the Lord shares with us. And I feel like he's encouraging us in the Word because so much of what we've been talking about and sharing and stuff like that has to do with approach, different classes, different things, and how approach can affect, you know, our relationship with Jesus and his response, just the way we approach him. And so chapter 6 of Micah, I'll just jump in. Hear now what the Lord saith, arise, contend before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear now, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and you strong foundations of the earth. Okay, so just really quick, just a bullet point type thing. He's having this conversation or these things to the hills and the mountains and the strong foundations of the earth. So it's like the Lord is dealing with the things in us, the things in his people that are not his son, but fill us like a mountain, fill us like a hill, like a mountain, the things that make us rise and form within us. And so much of the imagery in Micah is likened unto a woman in pregnancy. And I know that that is maybe just my opinion, or maybe it's actually correct within the interpretation of the scriptures by the Holy Spirit. But you have to ask the Lord that, because, you know, that's only God's work and only God's interpretation that matters. But so much of Micah has to do with bringing forth the son, and so much of the imagery within the book, which is Hebrew being a very a language given to more imagery in the way it is made, it deals with imagery so much, and so much of it in regards to pregnancy, both imagery and terminology within Micah. But these hills, these mountains, these things from chapter 1 to chapter 6, in my opinion, dealing with the stuff that fills someone that isn't the son being formed within us. And in verse 2, it says, you strong foundations of the earth. So the Lord is like crying out to everything in his bride, everything in his people that is like that fullness in you. That's not me. That's not my son. And that foundation in your earth, and it's so strong, that's now laid in the death of my firstborn, in the foundation of Christ and him crucified. That's another thing that holds you up. That's another thing that keeps you going. You know, it's a foundation in you that wasn't laid by the cross, where you were made one with Jesus. And so I'm contending with that because I want to fill it with my son. I want it to be full of my son. So it's, you know, it's not just, okay, I'm trying to deal with sin. No, it's, I'm trying to fill all the earth with my glory, with the glory of my son. So here I am loving on you. May not feel like love, but it is, because I'm contending to get you in a place where we can be truly flowing in oneness, and I can be your fullness, and my son can be your life, and what rises out of you will be coming from the foundation of his dying in you, and this is eternal life. So let's do it. Let's do it. Let's not look back. Let's just be together. And then let's skip a bit and go to verse 6. And so, again, approach is another big part of this portion we're looking at. Here we have approach again. So the person is like, okay, you know, what do I do? How do I even relate to you, God? I don't even know how to come before you, because I'm used to coming based on my fullness. I'm used to standing based on these foundations that aren't the cross, but the things that I put my confidence in, I put trust in, these things I know how to stand when I'm strong in this and that area. I can move forward based on my abilities, my comfort zones, my areas that I understand, but I don't know how to stand on a crucified Christ, and I don't know how to approach you through his fullness in me. I don't. So with what, verse 6, shall I come before you, Lord? How am I supposed to bow myself before the Most High God? Should I come before you? And oh dear, calves are actually in this verse. Glory to God. And bow myself before the Most High God. Shall I come before you with burnt offerings or with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? I mean, these are really strong statements this person is not just making in general. Like, this person is saying this stuff to the face of God. But you know what? Come, let us reason together. I feel like there is a conversation going on heart to heart, and they're not being religious. They're speaking from the heart. God speaking, contending, I want you in this way. I want my son out of you. And the person, the people that he's talking to, saying, well, how do I even approach you based on what I'm hearing in you? All I understand is these things. Should I come before you with the burnt offerings? You instituted worship. You instituted these burnt offerings. Do I come with calves of a year old to offer? I mean, isn't that what you want? And would the Lord, and here it comes, you know, now I think we have Micah. Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers, thousands of rivers, 10,000s of rivers of oil? All that we could pour out of our fullness, all that we could give that was like an offering, would he be pleased with that? If we move even deeper in, if we give up our firstborn for our transgression, the fruit of our body, to approach the Lord properly, would he be, and notice the wording is pleased. It's like, what is good in your sight? What is pleasing to your heart? What is your desire? How do you want me, Lord? Would it please you, these thousands of rivers of oil, the first fruit of my body, my firstborn? Is this what you want? And of course, you know, these are some really, really good questions, because they're touching, especially the one of the firstborn, the first fruit of my body, touching on the fact that he specifically wants his son, his firstborn son, in sacrifice, and nothing that looks like it, acts like it, it even has a similar title, but is not that son. Though it pours out like thousands of rivers of oil and gives itself like thousands of firstborn or first fruit offerings or burnt offerings, if it's not his son, but our fruit, the fruit of our body, the fullness of our strength and our abilities, he contends with that. He contends, it's not my son. It's just not my son. But you know, he says, I told you what I need from you, O man, verse 8. This is what I need from you. I don't need your fruit. I don't want your firstborn. I don't want your first fruits. I don't want your best of your bests and your rivers of oil and all the fullness of your land and all the offerings you could ever give me in a lifetime. Basically, just, you know, walk justly. Try to just be right as much as you can before my son comes forth. Love, mercy, you're going to need it when I reveal my son in you. And walk humbly so I can deal with you until my son be formed. You know, this is what I need from you, because you don't have anything you can give me that I'm really going to value until my son is formed in you. So just love, mercy, walk humbly, get ready, because I need to form my son in you. But I'm going to, verse 9, but my voice is crying out to the whole city. Is there anybody of wisdom out there that will see my name? Not just understand what they're supposed to do, but see my name. Hear the rod and who's appointed it. Like, the Father is crying out for his son. Who will see the Father crying out for his son? And they're literally here, the rod that's smiting the temple and the people, saying, bring forth my son. This is the purpose of the rod, is from the Father for his son, not just to discipline, to correct what we don't do right and point out every wrong calf and every bad first fruit that's not his first. You know, he's not just loving to just dig into sin and dissect it. He loves his son. Who's going to hear that rod and why it's coming forth? Who appointed it? The Father did. And then he goes, okay, well, let's look now. You can hear it in verse 10, like, all right, let's analyze the fullness. Oh, let's take a look at your rivers of oil, your first fruit of your womb, let's look at. Are you going to ask me to call these treasures? Are there yet treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked and the scant measure that is abominable? You know, are you wanting me to accept an offering that's blemished because it's not my son? Even if there's a scant measure of something that's not Christ, it's blemished. It's not him. Should I count, verse 11, should I count all this pure with it having wicked balances and with a bag of deceitful weights? It's a deceitful balance. It's not my son. Are you wanting me to deceive myself and say this is okay when it's a false balance? It's not my son. A false balance is an abomination. It's not Christ. Listen, he says in verse 12, the rich men are full. They're full of violence. The inhabitants, they speak lies. Their tongue, it's deceitful in their mouth. It's not my son. I see the motive. I see that it's not my son in nature. Are you asking me to overlook that, to simply receive what you're giving me? But he says, no, I'm going to make you sick in smiting you in the desolate because of sins. I love the imagery of this, verse 14. You shall eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down, it will be in the midst of you. You will take hold, but you'll not deliver, and what you do deliver, I'll give to the sword. So that's a picture of childbirth, in my opinion, again, where they're casting down and you know, it's taking hold of them like a woman with birth pangs. And even if they do deliver from that fullness, what they deliver will be given up to the sword because it's not the son. They're burdened about many things, and they're bearing their own fullness, their own anxiety, their own approach by the flesh. He's saying, even if you press through and you bring forth, it's not my son. You'll sow, but you can't reap that. It's not my son. You'll tread the olive, but you will not anoint yourself with that oil. The sweet wine, but you won't drink it. And he's just, you know, really he's saying, let's just reason together. Look, even if you brought all of your best to fruition and labored to bring it forth unto me, when I received that, I'd have to deliver it to the sword. It's not my son. You can't eat it. You can't drink it. It's not life. And so, you know, in chapter 7, I think this person's starting to hear and feel and see the burden of the Lord for his son in us and get on the same page as God's heart. And he's like, chapter 7, verse 1, you know, woe is me. I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There's no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first ripe fruit. The good man has perished. There is none upright among the men. There's no good guy in the earth. Everybody lies wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. It goes on in verse 4, the best of us is a briar, the most upright, sharper than a thorn hedge. You know, he's just like, there's nothing to offer God in the whole lot of us on the entire earth. In this old, there's nothing among men. We have nothing. We need God's life in us. You know, verse 7, therefore I will look up to the Lord. I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. He will hear me. So now he's like, I am not putting any confidence in the best of the best in me or anybody else. I am emptying myself of my fullness. I am taking the big old mountain down and making the high things low and the crooked things straight. And I'm letting my being be prepared for the coming forth of the Son in me. And I am preparing the way of the Lord inside of my body, spirit, soul, and body. I am preparing you the way of that firstborn Son to get out of me and be my approach and fullness to the Father and to others. And you know what? I am okay with calling all these things that I used to call treasure and fullness and glory nothing. I'm getting on God's page with all this. It is an abomination. It is desolate. It is fruitless. It is crucified. And all I want is the firstborn son, all I care about. I'm emptying it all. And he's like, you know what? Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me, because he knows I'm with the Lord now in a real way. I mean, my rising and my falling is based on the coming forth of Christ. My rising and my falling are based on him, him and his being, him and his nature, him and his life, the person, the eternal being. I'm knit into his flow. You know, you can look at all my darkness and all my failures and all the ways I used to be, but I'm a different person now because my confidence is no longer in my flesh. I'm so knit into that Son. My rising, my falling, it's all bound up with the Son of his love. Everything now that I am is bound up in him. So yeah, I'll bear, verse 9, I'll bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. You know what? I offered all this stuff that wasn't his Son to him, and that offended his heart. I've sinned against him. He's going to plead my cause. He's going to send forth his Son in the spirit of his Son into my heart, whereby I will cry, Abba, Father. And he's going to bring forth to light. I'm going to come up into this spirit of the Son. I'm going to rise with him. That day star is going to dawn, and I'm going to behold him as my righteousness. I'm going to bring forth the Son. Behold a Son. He's going to come out of me, and she that is mine enemy, she's going to see him coming out of me, and shame will cover her who once said to me, hey, where's the Lord? Where's the Lord in you? Where's Jesus here? Oh, he's coming now. My eyes shall behold her, and now she shall be trampled down like the mire of the streets in the days that the walls are to be built. In the day shall that decree be far removed. It's beautiful. Look at verse 13. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell in it, for the fruit of their doings. And it comes back to fruit again. And those who are being judged are being judged based on their fruit. And those that are being accepted are being accepted based on their fruit. And it's either the fruit of bringing forth the Son of the Father's love and sacrifice, bringing that firstborn forth, or bringing forth our best, bringing forth our firstborn, the fruit of our body, the offering up of our righteousness and our good works and the things that we call acceptable to God when they're not. They were crucified with Christ because they were an abomination. They were not Jesus. And letting all that work, letting God send his rod, and letting God weigh it in the balances, letting God call flesh flesh and judge it for what it is, letting God contend with us, letting God deal with those high places that need to be brought low, and shaking those strong foundations that need to be removed, and then birthing in us a passion that it would just be Jesus, no more me, more of you, less of me. Let it be the coming forth of Christ, and saying, Lord, whatever I went through in that process to get here, you know, it was worth it. And yeah, mine enemies may rejoice against me, and I've earned some of that. I bear that indignation before the Lord, for I have sinned against him, but that's not the end of my story, because I have changed confidences. I have turned the page on that. I'm with the Lord now, and I am bound up in his Son, and I will bring him forth. That seed is in me, and I'm cultivating Christ as my life, and I'll be judged by that fruit, by the life of God. He will be my salvation. He will be my righteousness. He will plead my cause. He will build the wall. He will reform this city as a habitation for the Son. And Lord, we pray that now. We know that we're going through all kinds of things. You're shaking our foundations. You're emptying our fullness. But Lord, just like calves we were talking about before we started just sharing in the Word, that springtime is the time when all those calves are birthed. Lord, new life is coming forth, Lord. And we want to bring forth a new life. We wanted to leap forth like a calf from the stall. We wanted to just come forth like life, just leaping out of our heart. Lord Jesus is a person. He's life. He lives. He's newness of life. Newness of life. We don't want to offer our sickly fruit, the fruit of our flesh. We think it's beautiful, but it's not your Son. We don't want to offer it like thousands and thousands of rivers of oil or endless burnt offerings. We don't want to cherish it because it's the fruit of our womb or the first fruit of our labors, or we want to see the one you love so much. We want to see him through your eyes. We want to understand why he is the fruit you desire. and prepare you the way for him to be our treasure, our fullness, the one thing we offer you, Lord. The one thing that defines our approach is Jesus, this living one, this firstborn of your heart, Lord, your son. So, Lord, we're with you. We hear the rod and who appointed it. We understand why sometimes you deal with us harshly. It's not because of the reasons we can many times think, but it's because of love. It's because of passion, and it's because of you're bringing us in and you're bringing forth Christ. So just continue to guide our hearts with your eyes. Open us up to what you're doing so we can be with you in it. And eventually, just in the midst of even the mockers, rejoice because we know we're so with you. Even if the harvest hasn't changed yet, things are going to change soon, because all of our trust and confidence is in Christ coming forth this time to the glory of the Father, the first fruit of the new harvest, a new season, a new way. Everything's going to be new now that we've made Jesus everything to us. So have your way in this new season in our lives. Let us pray for one another. Lord, let us get excited, even in the face of the old harvest mocking us. We are not part of that old harvest anymore. Things are different now. Things are going to be the sun in a brand new way. The leaping forth calf from the stall, Jesus. So, Father, we give you our hearts and we give you our agreement to do what's in your heart in this new season. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.